I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome back to the Ruthless Aggression Podcast. I'm Chris, joined by Rob. We are back here on the air after a few weeks of hiatus. I got a job since the last time we spoke, so we're going to try and fit that in to do the best that we can for you guys here. I would expect us to record next Wednesday as well, just because that looks like it's going to be another off day for me, and we will continue to try and balance real life with these podcasts here and have fun as we always do. Rob, we are back. We are back on the air. We are without Pierce, but we have a big show today.
We do. Yeah, we got to preview Crown Jewel. It's coming up on Saturday. Just about less than 48 hours from when we're recording this. The card is all filled out now, because SmackDown's taped this week. And, it's filled out nicely. I know we talked about it a little bit, I think, the beginning mm-hmm. of last week is when we did our last one. And, I was a little down on the card, but they've added a couple matches that I think are going to be pretty good. So, yeah, kind of looking forward to this show. It's nice, when wrestling's on Saturday afternoon, because it'll be, done by 3:30 or 4 o'clock, and then you have the whole rest of the day to yourself. You can watch college football or whatever. You have the whole Sunday to yourself. It's nice. Just kind of get it out of the way, and looking forward to it, though.
Yeah, I am definitely not upset with the early start time. But let's dive right in to the card here and the predictions for this show. Starting things off with an undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships match between the defending champion Usos, who are, by the time that they have this match, they will be, if they win, and I would assume that they will, if they win, they are about 6 days away from breaking the New Day's all-time record for tag team title reign. So that is the key storyline here. So do you think that they will surpass that?
Or
do you think that we have an upset in the making?
No, I don't think. It feels like they're, trying to... They're going to probably do New Day and Usos on SmackDown next week.
Would hope.
To kind of solidify the record or whatever. They've been teasing it and whatever. And that's no disrespect to the Brawl and Brutes. I just think, it still feels like it should be Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn to win the titles, probably at WrestleMania. At this point, that just makes
sense. Or in
Montreal. Yeah, either one. From a storyline perspective, this kind of feels like that makes the most sense. But, this should be a good match. They've, the Brawl and Brutes have really come along quite well. Sheamus is out of the picture at the moment, which I believe was for his wedding.
It was for his wedding, that is correct.
Popped up.
Yes.
That was cool. I think these teams probably aren't done with each other. It could very well be that, this is part of the War Games match. We'll have to wait and see on that, but it wouldn't surprise me if these guys are in the War Games.
Likewise.
Unless it's just, like a babyface team of mercenaries, but I think it's more likely that it's just Sheamus, these two, Ridge and Butch, and, then you get a couple mercenaries from Raw or whatever, just kind of loaded up.
I think of the two in here, just because one's a rookie, one's not. Butch, obviously, FKA Pete Dunne, is definitely a strong consideration for War Games. I'm pretty sure he was involved in the first two.
Yes.
Down in NXT.
Mm-hmm.
If I recall correctly, I don't think he was involved in the first one, now that I think about it. I'm pretty sure he was involved in the second one, though. Because in 2017, he was fresh off of beating Tyler Bate for the UK title. I think he faced Johnny Gargano, actually, for the title in 2017 on the NXT TV episode.
Yes, I think that's right.
I think that's right, because it either happened in 20... Yeah, because I'm almost 99% sure that he was in War Games in 2018. Either way, he was also in it in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 2021, too, if I recall correctly, too. He's a vet of that, so I wouldn't be surprised if they made a move to get him in there. Because, I mean, if you've noticed, I mean, it's very hard not to notice, his presentation and his attire has changed. It's more like what we were used to before he had the other getup. I didn't have a problem with it, but I understand the change back, and it still works and fits. But as far as upsets go, not.
No, I don't think so.
No, this is... I can't make a comparison without feeling insulting. So I was going to do something with college football here, but the Brutes are good. They're just not on the Usos level.
Yeah, exactly. No, I think that's really fair. And yeah, it'll be a good match. And yeah, I think the crowd will enjoy it. And, you know, both teams are very good. And,
yes.
But yeah, I'm going to go with the Usos.
Likewise. Okay, so we move on to a non-title match, a singles match between two giants, Braun Strowman, who is back, of course. He is facing Omos in definitely a spectacle match. Rob, I know you were talking with me away from the podcast about your thoughts on this match, and I will let you have the floor.
Well, I think I brought it up last week, too, to be honest with you. I'm pretty sure I did. Just, you know, it's strange to have Braun and Omos and Brock and Lashley on the same card, because fundamentally they're going to be very similar matches. Just, you know, Braun and Omos are kind of the worst versions of Brock and Lashley,
mm-hmm,
to a large degree. But, you know, in terms of, like, agent and production, it should be very similar, so it's a little strange. With that being said, you know, when Braun does the power slam on him, it'll be a very cool spot, and really, if that's kind of what all we're building to, that'll be cool. You know, I think Braun, since coming back, has actually been pretty good again. I don't know if it was that they didn't know. Well, I don't even know, because he was pretty good before they released him, too. That triple threat with Lashley and Drew was very good,
yeah,
and I thought the cage match with Shane was about as good as it could have been, too. So I don't know if, you know, maybe he's kind of learned, but he's an attraction, and I think they've kind of figured out how to use him like that. They did a six-man a couple weeks ago where he teamed with the New Day against Sammy and the Usos. That was a very good match. And but, yeah, I'm not really looking forward to it, but I think, you know, there will be a couple spots that will pop everyone, and as long as you can keep it short enough, it'll be fine. But yeah, I mean, as far as, you know, monster fights go, it's gonna be the second best one of the evening.
Correct. In a match that is, you know, transpiring in the fallout from their encounter at Extreme Rules, which we on this show criticized, Drew McIntyre is wrestling Karrion Kross in a steel cage match. This build has gotten a little bit, you know, high octane. Drew basically kicked Karrion's ass on the SmackDown after Extreme Rules. They've been kind of biding their time within this. Drew was not on the I don't think Drew was on the shows. I know he was at Sheamus' wedding.
Mm-hmm.
So this one, I feel like it can go either way, but I'm going to pick Drew.
Yeah.
I'm picking Braun to beat Omos.
Yeah, me too. I guess I'll pick Drew. I mean, I don't care, you know?
That's fair.
Just, Cross is bad. Drew, it doesn't really have the momentum at the moment. Like, I still like Drew, but, like, just, I can't get behind Cross. Like, just watching him, there's something missing there.
Yeah.
And it's not just that, you know, he's kind of an asshole, it seems. It just, he doesn't stand out to me. And, yeah, so, I mean, hopefully Drew wins, starts maybe building some momentum back, and, you know, I don't know what they do with either guy after this. If this is the end of the feud, they probably will have one more match, since this is just the second one, but also, you know, you did a cage match, you should probably just end it there, but, yeah, we'll see. I'll go with Drew, though.
Fair play. We move on to a six-man tag team match that's been building up for the past couple of weeks after the Raw season premiere in Brooklyn. The OC, the newly reformed OC, of AJ Styles, Karl Anderson, and Luke Gallows, battle with the Judgment Day. Finn Balor, Damian Priest, and Dominic Mysterio. Rhea Ripley will be at ringside, no doubt. With Rey Mysterio on SmackDown now, he will likely not provide a role here. So this is a new thing for Judgment Day, obviously. Because them and Styles have been kind of feuding, but they've never centralized it until now. Where do you... I will let you offer your prediction first before I go with mine.
Yeah, this one's going to be interesting, because I don't think, you know, the OC should lose. They just came in, you know, you're trying to get them over and all that. You know, they're an established act already to an extent, but, you know, obviously you have to kind of reestablish them a little bit. I would probably pick the OC here. I don't know, maybe Edge comes out to help him or whatever, since he just does his big return every stadium show now. Or, you know, what the deal's going to be there. I'm kind of more interested, because it seems pretty clear that they're going to get a woman to join up with them to counteract Rhea. So I'm more interested who that's going to be. I don't know that we're necessarily going to see that on Saturday.
Probably not.
But, you know, kind of interested in seeing how that one plays out. But, yeah, you know, AJ is still very good. Carl Anderson's been very good. You know, Luke Gallows kind of is what he is, but... Yeah, I think there could be some really fun sequences in this match, too. You know, if you get, like, AJ and Finn, even though we've seen them wrestle before, obviously, it's still something that's a lot of fun. Or you get, you know, Carl Anderson against Finn. They had a really good match on Raw. Or, you know, Damian Priest is still fine, too. Like, you know, I don't know that he's necessarily as good as he was in NXT anymore. In terms of in-ring, I don't... It just, you know, he's still a guy that you enjoy watching, though. But, yeah, I'm going to go with the OC.
I'm going to go with the Judgment Day. They haven't won many big matches on pay-per-views. Finn obviously got the win over Edge last month at Extreme Rules in the I Quit match. But they did lose at SummerSlam. They did lose at Clash at the Castle. I know obviously they're facing different opponents now. I don't think the OC is too damaged here if they lose a match. I think the thing with me for this match is just that I don't see anybody on the Judgment Day who I can say, oh yeah, they're going to take the pin. I can, however, see people on the OC who I can say that about.
That's fair.
And I think it's, for me, I think it's easier to see that happen because...
Well, I mean, Dominic.
I mean, he could, but they're obviously trying to build him up. So I don't think they're going to have him take the pin in this situation. He could, and it probably wouldn't do too much damage to him. However, I think that in this case, I don't think that they're going to take the loss here. I think that they will win... And also, I think it's just easier to see an aftermath of them, you know, having the win and the faces responding, whereas other matches on this card, it's easier to see the heels responding to losses. It just doesn't... I don't think it works here for Judgment Day. I think they're riding too much of a wave right now to take a loss.
That's fair.
But this match is one of a few that I think could really go either way. Which is a great transition to our next match on the card for the WWE Women's Tag Team Championships. The team of Alexa Bliss and Asuka, who won the titles this past Monday night on Raw on their return to the broadcast after selling injuries for the past couple of weeks, take on the team of Dakota Kai and Io Sky, the former Women's Tag Team Champions. Haven't seen the auto rematch thing happen in a while. I'm not necessarily opposed to it, though, just because of how good their matches have been with each other.
Yeah, I thought the match on Monday was really good. It would be kind of weird for Damage Control to just win it back. You know, if they want Bayley to win too and have all the gold, yeah, I get it, I guess. But, like, you could have done that without having Alexa and Asuka win the titles in the first place. You could have kept them off TV another week or whatever, for example. But it is one that could go either way. You know, these are obviously two of the teams that are going to factor into... Would presume there's going to be a women's war game. I believe they said that when it was announced.
Might as well have been implied, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, obviously they're all going to factor in, so this feud's not going anywhere.
No. And I think people thinking that... you know what, I'm not going to get to it.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Personally, I would just keep it on Alexa and Asuka, but I don't think, you know, it would be the end of the world if Damage Control wins, but yeah.
This is one of those situations that I was just talking about where I can foresee the heels having a reaction to a loss versus the faces having a reaction to a loss here, because I don't disagree with the decision, for the record. I know that it was a decision that was, for whatever reason, extremely controversial this week, just like everything that Damage Control does, which is starting to become the most annoying thing going on Twitter and in this space. Kind of has been for, like, you know, 3 months now, but it's only starting to rise in okay, this is kind of whatever, I get it, to, okay, this is getting kind of intolerable, and you can't react like this to every match because it's not a week-to-week league. And so in that case, I don't even know if I have a prediction. This could literally go either way, and I would personally not be upset by either decision. Mm-hmm. I could see the why for every decision here. The thing that I am going to be watching in this match is there going to be any outside influence? Because there's been outside influence in a lot of their matches that is undeniable at this point. They always involve a big party here. So is someone going to be involved in this match that isn't on the card and could very well be a factor in about, what, like 3 weeks, 4 weeks at Survivor Series?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm going to be looking for, and it's what I'm going to be looking for in the other match involving the other two parties here. Is someone going to be involved? I lean yes. I think Candace will be involved somehow. In whatever decision that may be. But that is my prediction for this match, that Candace will get involved somehow. I don't think that after all that's happened, that they're suddenly just going to have a clean match. They might. But this, going back this quickly, screams, okay, they're doing some kind of angle here.
Yeah, that's fair.
And they haven't done an angle where they thread a needle throughout a show on a pay-per-view in a while, but I think that this is a big possibility for that to happen.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I mean, we go right to the other women's match then, if you want.
Yeah, we can go right into Bianca Belair versus Bayley in a last woman standing match for the Raw Women's Championship. They are once again building around the fact that neither Bayley or Bianca should be pinned right now. Mm-hmm. I know Bayley lost to Candice LeRae on the Raw season premiere or whatever, but there's a reason for that. They're trying to establish her to the audience. They got their heat back anyway. No one is going to care in like 5 months from that TV loss. Okay, moving forward here. So you have a situation here where, at Extreme Rules, Bianca fended off all of Damage Control to win. It was a ladder match. Bayley wasn't pinned. Bayley still had momentum, in my opinion, since then. Bianca has taken her fair share of lumps. She took a big bump on Monday with a Bayley-to-Bayley through a table off a big platform that they had. I thought that was a fun spot. They did like a drone camera look at it. It was really cool. I expect this match to be pretty violent for what they can accomplish here. I don't, once again, with War Games around the corner, there's no way that this is the end anyway. This is another dead heat for me. It could literally go either way. I know the betting odds or whatever, not that anyone should gamble on wrestling. It was a literal pick'em in the beginning of the week. I can't imagine that that's really shifted.
Yeah, I think
if I had to make a prediction, I guess I'll go with my favorite in Bayley, but because I guess you do need some heat for War Games, but it's like, I can see it either way, but yeah, there has to be some kind of involvement here. Again, I think involvement is more crucial in this match than the tag match, even though I'm predicting that happens, but something is going to happen in this match again.
Yeah. No, that's fair. And it looks like this was, as of yesterday, it was Bianca minus 160, Bayley plus 120. So, I mean,
that's very close.
You know, considering.
That is very close considering the situation.
Yeah.
It's very close.
And the tag match is Asuka and Alexa minus 200, Damage Control plus 150. So even that, you know.
It's not bad.
No, that's close.
No, exactly. That's close.
Especially for how the wrestling odds work. Which,
exactly.
You know, they're weird.
They're very weird. They're always weird. Yeah, if I had to make a pick, I'll pick Bayley, but I'm not confident in it. And that's not me saying, ooh, I'm so blah, 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 defeatist. No, I just don't know what's going
to
happen.
It just feels like she shouldn't lose to Bianca again, though, right?
But she's not getting pinned.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that I think people are, you know, uproarious about. She's not getting pinned, and they keep hanging it over her head.
That's fair.
That she has pinned her. She just did last week.
Mm-hmm.
She's pinned her twice.
Yeah.
In 3 months. No, nobody pinned Bianca for 300 plus days.
Mm-hmm.
It still matters.
That's a good point.
And they're building towards that. They can kind of continue to hang that over her head.
Yeah.
You can milk something out of that. You can.
I'll go with Bayley, you know, just more than anything, just really looking for a good match. Because last person standing matches can be tough.
But I think that these two are creative enough. You've seen that creativity in the ladder match that they had, the Hell in a Cell match that I don't rate, but they were still creative in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in terms of laying out matches, Bayley is one of the smartest wrestlers there is. So I think that they've got definitely got something cooked up here. It's another big match for Bayley. Can't complain about that. So
yeah.
And also, no, they're not done with her. Shut up and stop making me annoyed to go look at any discourse about my favorite wrestler.
Yeah.
Enough already. Enough. I could go on for days. I don't have the time to do that right now, though.
Yeah. Moving on, we got Brock Lesnar against Bobby Lashley for the second time on pay-per-view this year, which kind of felt like a dream match, once-in-a-lifetime sort of thing. And then it happened, and it was whatever, you know? And then it turns out Lashley was hurt, so now they're doing it again. I think the build's been very good with the brawling and such. You know, I'm excited for it. I would just like them to bust out a couple new things because we've kind of seen how these Brock, you know, spectacle matches go already, mm-hmm. where it's just a bunch of suplexes and finishers and, you know, they'll do the spear through the barricade. And I like all that. It just, you know, maybe one or two new spots would be cool too. Like,
yeah.
But, I mean, I'm excited for the match overall. It feels like Lashley should probably win because, you know, he needs to be on TV again Monday and Brock most likely will not unless, you know, he's brought in for something for War Games, but I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think we're going to see him again until around the Rumble. So I would have Lashley win, and then from there, you know, maybe he's the guy that works Roman at the Rumble. You know, maybe he... But either way, there's something you could do with Lashley. I just think it's more of a benefit for Lashley to win here than for Brock. But Lashley did beat him the first time, too. So, you know, it's really hard to say. But Lashley would be one of the rare guys that have beaten Brock twice then. It's probably Goldberg, Undertaker, Seth, Roman, and that's...
Angle?
Yeah.
No, Angle beat him once, yeah. That's right. Yeah, just
yeah.
once.
So it's, I think it's just those guys, to
yeah.
be honest with you.
I think
so,
it's just those guys, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, it could go either way. I wouldn't mind if Brock wins, obviously, but I'm going to pick Lashley.
Fair. I will go with Lashley as well for pretty much the exact reasons you laid out here. I think it just makes more sense in this instance for him to win.
Yeah. And then we move to the match that really no question about who's going to win. But, you know, Roman Reigns with Paul Heyman, Jey Uso, Jimmy Uso, Sami Zayn, and Solo Sikoa, which I don't know if Sami's actually going to be there.
He's not listed there.
He was on the, he's on the Wikipedia.
I'm looking at the Wikipedia. He's not there.
Oh, wow.
The Usos and Solo Sikoa are.
Okay, well, yeah, because I this must be a different one or whatever that has Sammy on it. He's not going to be there. He's never gone to one of these.
He's never gone to one of these. Never will.
And versus Logan Paul with Jake Paul.
Who is rumored to be in his corner.
Yes.
You can pretty much connect the dots there.
For the WWE Universal Championship, you know, obviously,
Roman's going to win. Yeah, duh.
Yeah, Logan Paul's going to have a good showing again, I would imagine, like he did the other two matches he was in, and... It'll be fine. I mean, I think the build has been okay. I think the build's been kind of weird because they really focused on the actual build for the first, like, 2 weeks and then changed it down the line to, like, 3 weeks of more Bloodline infighting stuff. But that's been very good. So, you know, that's the bigger story that they're telling is with Sammy. And, you know, there's more to that there. So, yeah, obviously Roman's going to win. You're just kind of looking for a good match. And, you know... We've talked kind of at length before, at least I have, about how it would be nice for Roman to just have a title defense that's, you know, 10 minutes, 11 minutes, and I think that's the opportunity you have here. So, yeah, I think they'll just go and Roman will have a nice easy win, and then we'll start the build to War Games.
Indeed. And before we move on to 2006, a fun thing is happening on Friday night during SmackDown. The Young Rocks Season 3 premiere is going down on NBC, and a WWE star who has not been on TV will make her acting debut. That is Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch is playing the role of Rock and Roll Hall of Famer and music and feminist icon Cyndi Lauper, who, of course, as many wrestling fans would know, was hugely influential in the 80s wrestling boom with the Rock and Wrestling Connection. Her work with Lou Albano, as well as her appearance at WrestleMania 1, which is what the episode is focused on. She, of course, accompanied Wendi Richter to the ring, I believe, because I believe Leilani Kai was with the Fabulous Moolah,
mm-hmm.
if I recall correctly. So Lauper and Lynch, obviously, this is pretty fun. I think this is pretty fun. I might even watch a little bit. I know we've watched Young Rock. I don't mind it. I think it's a funny show.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
And, you know, I'm intrigued to see how Lynch does here. Everyone has been praising her work. And really, I think one of my only other comments is that I hope that, you know, this isn't necessarily related or correlated, but I hope that this is a bridge to better things, including Cyndi Lauper getting inducted into the Hall of Fame. I know it's not a physical Hall of Fame, but her contributions to wrestling were as important as anyone in the 80s, and she is, like, the wrestling celebrity and the one who helped boost it into mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
So she deserves her flowers and recognition. So I hope that as early as spring in Los Angeles, she gets into the Hall of Fame. Because it's been long enough. I don't believe there was any animosity on either side, which might make it worse.
Yeah, it's very strange. I don't really know what the deal is.
But it's a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could have argued this could have been done at 35. This could have been done at 29.
Mm-hmm.
Even 20. When they had the first big, you know, Hall of Fame gala,
mm-hmm,
with all those 80s wrestling stars, you could have said, okay, we're going to do it.
Yeah.
Because it was at the Garden.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And it'd be cool. And check that out. And hopefully it does lead to something. That'd be very good.
Yes.
Yeah. Go back to 2006 now.
That is all you, my friend.
Got the music, top five songs, number five, Chasing Cars by Snow Patrol. Number four, How to Save a Life by The Fray. Number three, Lips of an Angel by Hinder. Staying at number two is Moneymaker. Staying at number one is Sexy Back.
Four and five. God.
They sound very similar, too.
All they remind me of is Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah. Yeah. You know.
If there's one Snow Patrol song that was good, it was Spitting Games.
Yeah.
Thank you, MVP Baseball. But, I don't like those songs.
Top five movies. Down to number five is The Guardian. Debuting at number four is Employee of the Month. Down to number three is Open Season. Debuting at number two is Texas Chainsaw Massacre: The Beginning.
I remember that.
And debuting at number one is The Departed.
That was a very popular movie on the internet for a really long time.
Yes.
I've never seen it.
Yeah, I don't know that
I know it was either. I know the big thing also was that it was a really long movie.
Yeah.
I don't remember how long its runtime was. Let me see.
Yes, but we took care of the NFL stuff last week
because
we had a pay-per-view on Sunday, but the Monday night game saw the Broncos defeat the Ravens 13-3, handing the Ravens their first loss of the year. Matt Stover hit a field goal for the Ravens, their only score. Jason Elam hit two for the Broncos, and then Rod Smith caught a touchdown from Jake Plummer to make it 13-3 late in the game. So, yeah. So
what a sentence that is.
Kind of how that went. Kind of
boring. Yeah. They picked off Steve McNair three times.
Yeah.
And Darrent Williams, rest in peace, got the game's only touchdown, or led to the game's only touchdown, that touchdown from Rod Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing else happened in sports, so let's continue on to Raw. Raw Family Reunion.
Yeah, I didn't really remember the Raw Family Reunion. You know, remembered Homecoming and the 10th anniversary show, all that sort of stuff, but did not remember this one.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we got I Just Want to Be Loved by Papa Roach and the new updated graphics.
Yes.
So kind of a new era for Raw.
Mm-hmm.
We opened with all six commentators, which we don't really need, but... John Cena's here. Thanks to fans, and he has a message for Edge. The champ is still here. Whoever wants to step up now that Edge is out of the picture can. That brings out King Booker. Booker says that Cena is a champion, but not the champion. Booker's the champion, shown by last night when he took out three opponents at No Mercy. Last time Booker was on Raw, he made Cena kiss his feet. Cena says that Booker's lost his mind. If he wants to talk about the champion of champions, they should just wrestle right now. They're about to, but then Big Show comes out, says that he's the real champion. He was the most dominant giant in WWE history. He's a WWE, WCW, and ECW champion, the only man to ever do that. If Andre was here, he would kick his ass, too. Cena was in the Marine, but Big Show was in The Water Boy, a movie that made a ton of money. And Booker says that he was in Ready to Rumble, and then that was the best movie of all of them. And Cena and Big Show start laughing, which is a good bit. Appreciate that. Eventually, they all start fighting, and the refs from each show come out to break it up. Coach and Heyman, Teddy Long are arguing. They settle on three matches for their guys tonight. They're going to do Big Show against Jeff Hardy, Booker T against RVD, and John Cena against The Undertaker.
A unicorn match.
Yeah.
Haven't seen that in 3 years.
That is correct, yes.
Haven't seen. I don't know if they ever wrestled in 2004, but I'm pretty sure they went from 03 till now
without
wrestling. Umaga wrestled Kane in a Loser Leaves Raw match, and after Monster fighting for a little bit, Armando hit Kane with a cigar box, leading to Umaga hitting Kane with the Samoan Spike, and Kane is gone from Raw. I wonder where he will go.
Yeah.
It's such a mystery.
That is true.
Lillian Garcia introduced the old ball coach, Steve Spurrier, who was at ringside.
Yeah, they're in Columbia, South Carolina, so yep. He's still a big deal there.
Yes, I believe that this is one of his, this might be his first year there. Or second.
Yeah, it's early.
Very early in his tenure, I know that.
Highlanders tell Kane that it was an honor being on Raw, and then he beats him up. Big Show's in action against Jeff Hardy, wins with a showstopper, and then Johnny Nitro beats up Jeff Hardy after the match.
Mm-hmm. Then we got a street fight between D-Generation X and the team of Kaden Murdoch. They're all wearing street clothes, which is cool. Good aesthetic. Michaels did an elbow drop through a table, and DX got the win.
Yep. Edge told Todd Grisham that last week DX cost him the WWE Championship, but it's not a big deal. Cutting Edge is back tonight, and it's going to answer any questions that any of us might have.
Shelton Benjamin came out. He was upset he didn't have a match on the card tonight in his home state of South Carolina. So Chris Benoit answered the challenge. Predictably, this match was pretty good.
Very good. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
And Benoit won by countering the T-bone into a crossface.
Good stuff. The SmackDown match of the evening. Batista, yes. Lashley, and Rey were in action against Chavo, Finlay, and Regal. Faces get the win when Rey hits a frog splash on Chavo. So Rey's getting some momentum. Fabulous Moolah and Mae Young are here.
Unfortunately.
It's a bummer. Melina defeated Tori to advance in the women's title tournament that's still going on.
Allegedly doing.
Booker T against Rob Van Dam. Kind of overshadowed by Taz and JBL screaming at each other on commentary. Booker wins the scissors kick after Charmel pulls RVD off the top rope when he was going for the frog splash. So kind of keeping the champions looking good without doing too much damage to the other guy, which is good. Crime Time is debuting next week. The GMs are arguing again. Vince shows up, says that it's Cyber Sunday. All three champions will face off in a triple threat match.
See who becomes the champion of champions.
Which is a big deal back then, because they didn't do it every year at Survivor Series.
Correct. Correct. So we did Ric Flair versus Mitch next. Mitch said Flair had no friends. And then Roddy Piper, AA, Ted DiBiase, and IRS all came out to even the odds, and Flair won in a minute.
DiBiase and IRS kind of aren't Flair's friends historically, but whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
I mean, Piper's not.
Piper really
either,
isn't either, no.
But it's fine.
At least Arn made sense here.
Time for the Cutting Edge. Edge's guest is Randy Orton. It says Randy's the reason to join up with him because, you know, remember how Triple H treated him when he kicked him out of Evolution? That's all the convincing that Randy needed, and they're going after DX now. They're going to take him out.
Have the formation of Rated RKO.
Yes. Then we move to Undertaker against John Cena. Ends in a no contest because Big Show and Booker come out and attack both. Undertaker leaves, and Cena puts Big Show in the STFU and then hits Booker with the FU to end the show.
I mean, yeah, you're not getting a clean finish out of Taker versus Cena in 2006 on quote-unquote free TV.
Yeah.
That's not surprising.
Exactly.
I'm not shocked. I'm more shocked that they never ended up going to this match at a big pay-per-view ever again.
Yeah, well, WrestleMania 34.
That doesn't count. Come on. I Fair. Mean, Cena in his prime, well, this run through right
show.
Now. I know, but they still could have done it. They did interpromotional matches all the time.
It could have been like a Mania match, I guess.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, you know, 23, Cena's the champion. 24.
Could have done 24.
24, Undertaker's the champion, isn't he?
He wins the belt. He wins it from Edge.
Yeah, so there you go.
But I mean,
25, obviously, they couldn't. 26, they couldn't. Well,
25,
you know?
They could have. Yeah, they could have. Cena was the world heavyweight champion. Cena won the world heavyweight title.
They had the Shawn match.
You could have saved that for the next year. I would have enjoyed Cena, because I personally like the 2010 match over the 2009.
Yeah.
You could have done Cena versus Taker in Texas.
I mean,
you're not wrong.
You did
Cena versus Edge and Big Show for the World Heavyweight title. On SmackDown.
It's hard to pick a match for both guys at a Mania that you would replace.
Oh, wait. 24. I would replace Taker and Edge, and I would replace Cena, Orton, and Triple H.
But Edge, that did a lot for him.
I understand that, but all I'm saying is that, like, you could have done something.
Yeah.
I feel fair. Like you could have done something. That's all. Because also, why not... Okay, I know we're freestyling here, but why not have him retire Flair?
Yeah.
Edge, that is.
Yeah.
Say Edge needed something, you could have done that.
You could have.
You could have dropped the belt to Taker, and do Taker Cena at Mania. Could you have broken the streak? I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, but then what does Michaels do?
I don't know. Batista? They did Batista Umaga. I mean, that match barely hit on the Richter scale.
Yeah. Well.
I mean, it was the same deal because it was a GM versus GM type deal because it was a monster versus monster match. William Regal could have picked Shawn Michaels and faced Batista.
That's true.
That would have been a bigger match because they did Michaels Batista anyway.
Yeah.
The next month at Backlash because Batista fought for Flair or whatever the hell.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point. You're not wrong.
It is what it is. Anyway, it is what it is. I actually ended up seeing a match where Taker and Cena were together 3 years later, the Kofi Orton Raw at Madison Square Garden.
There you go.
2009. Let's move to ECW in Topeka, Kansas. Although, one quick update. The Tigers won Game 1 of the ALCS 5-1 on Tuesday night. So they are up 1-0 in that series.
Oh, there you go.
Moving on.
ECW, Bob Mahoney introduces Trinity, Kelly, Maria, Candice, Ashley, and Crystal, who will be playing Extreme Strip Poker. Show's rated TV-MA. I'm going to be honest with you. There's not much to talk about here.
Nope.
It's not good. You know, it doesn't really lend itself to just me describing it either. It's just everything being bad. CM Punk beat Rene Dupree. Tommy Dreamer beat Kevin Thorne. RVD, Sabu, and Sandman beat Big Show, Test, and Mike Knox. And that was ECW. It's not a good show. It's going to continually get worse and then kind of come to a head by the end of the year. And maybe get better in 2007 a little bit. At least Monty Brown's there for a couple months.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, before we go to SmackDown current events, unfortunately, regrettably, Corey Lytle was killed in a plane crash in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
I vividly remember that playing out. I was, like, floored when it happened because it just was something that I was not expecting to see on my TV after coming home from school that day. Because that happened in the afternoon. I definitely remember most of that playing itself out. And also, to update, the NLCS was postponed due to rain on Wednesday. The games will be made up on Thursday and Friday for the rescheduled Game 2. And both teams plan to push their starting pitchers back one day. The Tigers beat the A's 6-5. Justin Verlander got the win in the game. And Alexis Gomez and Curtis Granderson both hit home runs.
Oh, there you go.
And that was Alexis Gomez's only home run of the season. So it was a big one.
Yeah,
good time. Big two-run bomb. On Thursday, the Mets took Game 1 of the NLCS by defeating the Cardinals 2-0. Tom Glavine got the win. Billy Wagner got the save. Carlos Beltran hit a home run. Glavine threw 7 shutout innings. And Beltran hit a 2-run homer off of the Cardinals' Jeff Weaver in the 6th inning. Let's see. College football. Boston College defeated 22nd-ranked Virginia Tech 22-3. I believe Matt Ryan was the QB there.
Yeah, he should have been.
And Clemson beat Temple 63-9. So a big win for the Tigers. And before we go to SmackDown, the Tigers defeated the A's 3-0 in Game 3. Craig Monroe hit a home run for the Tigers. And in Game 2, the Cardinals bounced back, beat the Mets 9-6. Jim Emmons and So Taguchi hit home runs, and Carlos Delgado hit 2 home runs to give the Mets the lead, but the Redbirds came back both times, and Taguchi homered in the top of the ninth to give the Cardinals the lead, and they added 2 more runs in the inning and shut the Mets down for the win.
Yeah.
And you know what's coming. Yes. The Tigers and A's. We'll talk about that on Sunday. When we get to Sunday, rather.
We have a couple pieces of wrestling news here. Francine was released by WWE, and Gunnar Scott was released by WWE, so one of the more interesting runs I think that we've seen so far, because they really tried to hammer him over, and it just did not work.
Also, my mistake, it was actually Saturday that the Tigers clinched. I thought it was Sunday for some reason.
SmackDown, October 13, 2006, from Jacksonville. Mr. Kennedy's here. He asked to be moved to Raw last month, but Teddy said no and had him stay here and face The Undertaker, but now he's beaten The Undertaker. There's no one left for him to beat, so Teddy says he can go to SmackDown, but he's got one last match that he's got to do, and that is Kennedy against Benoit for the U.S. title. Pretty physical back and forth, and then Undertaker, the gong hits, and Kennedy's distracted, and Benoit hits the crossface and wins the U.S. title again.
Not big on the distraction finish. I think that was kind of lame.
Yeah.
I get it. but I thought that was kind of lame.
Well, you know.
Whatever.
There's going to be a triple threat match tonight between Batista, Lashley, and Finlay to determine the number one contender for the World Heavyweight Championship.
Sounds like a banger.
Yeah, it should be very good. Vito beat William Regal to wrap that up.
Yep.
Lashley says he's going to win the number one contenders match and go on to beat Booker for the title. Kane defeated MVP via countout when MVP just kind of left in the middle of the match, which fair.
Earned some Power Rangers chance, unfortunately, yeah. MVP did.
Rey Mysterio's in action against Jamie Noble. Chavo and Vicky are there to watch at ringside, and Rey hits a 619, and then Chavo gets on the mic and challenges Rey to an I Quit match next week on SmackDown, where the loser will leave SmackDown. Intrigue.
Yes, very.
Paul London, Brian Kendrick, and Jimmy Wang Yang defeated the Teacher's Pets and Sylvain Grenier.
Fine mid-card stuff. I think they're doing a really good job with London and Kendrick, by the way.
Yeah. And listen, when we just breeze through these matches, it's not that they're... I mean, on ECW, it's that they're bad, but the SmackDown ones are mostly pretty good. It just, you know, there's nothing of note, and it doesn't advance the storyline or whatever. That's just what it means when we breeze through the
exactly,
stuff.
Exactly,
I mean, yeah. Except on ECW.
Yeah.
Then it's just
exactly.
Bad. Finlay says he's going to win the triple threat match tonight and go on to win the title. Batista says he's going to win the triple threat match tonight and go on to win the title. And then it's time for the triple threat match.
Lashley went to pin Finlay. You know, this is a pretty high-energy match. But Hornswoggle distracted the ref. Lashley chased him around. I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah.
Finlay and Lashley worked together to slam Batista through the announce table. I thought that was cool. Batista came back, however, and Batista bombed Finlay. Picked up the win, and he is the new number one contender.
Yep.
And that was SmackDown. So let's move on to the weekend here. In terms of college football, 11th-ranked Auburn defeated 2nd-ranked Florida. The Tigers scored all their points on defense and special teams. They pulled off a shocking upset of the last unbeaten team from the Southeastern Conference. Let's see, what else? The Penn State lost 2 quarterbacks in their 17-10 loss to Michigan. Okay. Other than that, Ohio State beat Michigan State 38-7. Ohio State is currently the top-ranked team in the land. LSU shut out Kentucky 49-0. Indiana upset 15th-ranked Iowa 31-28. Vanderbilt upset 16th-ranked Georgia 24-22. They beat them in Athens for the first time in 22 years off a last-second field goal.
Oh, wow.
And let's see what else happened here. Oregon defeated UCLA 30-20. Texas A&M defeated 19th-ranked Missouri 25-19. The Sooners defeated Iowa State 34-9. However, they paid a heavy price because Adrian Peterson broke his collarbone. He'll be out for at least the rest of the regular season. However, he does make an appearance in the Fiesta Bowl later on in the year.
Mm-hmm.
The very famous Fiesta Bowl that we will get to and I'm excited to talk about when we get to New Year's Day. And also, around there, oh yes, very significant game happened that weekend. Miami defeated Florida International 35-0, but the game is most remembered by a sideline-clearing brawl that saw a total of 13 players be ejected.
Yes, that is correct. I remember that.
Yes. Also, the Edmonton Eskimos missed the CFL playoffs for the first time since 1971, ending the longest postseason streak in all of professional sports after 35 years, because the Argonauts defeated them 28-25. So that is interesting news up in Canada. Elsewhere, in baseball, Maglio Ordóñez hit one of the most famous home runs in baseball history to send the Tigers to their first World Series since 1984?
Yes.
In 22 That's years, he hit that off. It was the first ALCS walk-off homer since Aaron Boone in 2003, of course. Placido Polanco was named the ALCS MVP after he went 9-for-17 in the series.
Yeah.
Also, in Game 3 of the NLCS, the Cardinals took a 2-1 lead in the series, defeating the Mets 5-0. Jeff Suppan gave up just 3 hits in 8 scoreless innings and hit a home run.
Maglio Ordóñez finished 2nd in MVP voting in 2007.
He did, yeah, I know. He had a beastly year for the Tigers in 07. I remember that because they got Mickey and D-Train.
Yeah, and he hit .363.
He did, yeah. He was outrageous that year. Yeah, how about that? Jeff Suppan getting 8 innings in the postseason.
Yeah,
you're never going to see something like that ever again.
No.
For better or worse. That's wild. Let's move on to Sunday now. In Game 4 of the NLCS, the Mets defeated the Cardinals 12-5. They completely romped them. Carlos Beltran, David Wright, and Carlos Delgado all hit home runs. Beltran hit two of them. And for the Cardinals, David Eckstein, and Jim Edmonds and Yadier Molina all hit home runs. But Delgado hit a three-run homer that gave the Mets the lead for good, and then later a two-run double in a six-run sixth inning. The series is tied at two games apiece. And also, let's talk about the NFL. The Bears are not off.
They're not. They're in the Monday night game. We will get to that in a moment.
Yes.
Around the league first, we have the Giants defeating the Falcons to improve to 3-2. Giants quarterback Eli Manning had two touchdowns. I forgot he's running the show now. I thought Kurt Warner was still there, but he's not anymore. Michael Vick struggled quite a bit there. Let's see what else happened. Dallas defeated Houston 34-6. I'm trying to find if anything. Pittsburgh improved 2-3, 45-7 win over Kansas City. St. Louis and Seattle played.
Oh, because I'm reading on Wiki. I think because it said Torrey Holt made a circus touchdown catch. I think I remember that touchdown catch.
Oh, yeah.
I think that was the one where he was like bobbling in the air and he pulled it down. Mm-hmm. But then Josh Brown hit a 54-yarder as time expired to clip the Rams 30-28.
That was a long field goal back then.
That was a very long field goal back then. Nowadays, not so much.
Chargers improved to 4-1 with a 48-19 win over the 49ers. LaDainian Tomlinson had four touchdowns.
Career high.
Yeah.
Career high, four touchdowns. Phillip Rivers threw for 334 yards and two more scores. The Raiders moved to 0-5 for the first time since 1964. And the Broncos have only allowed one touchdown through five games. They are the first team since the 1934 Detroit Lions to achieve such a feat. So the Broncos have something cooking out there right now.
Yes.
What will come of them, I don't actually remember.
Get back to Monday Night Football in a moment here. First, we have the top five songs. Down to number five is How to Save a Life. Up to number four is Smack That by Akon. Three is still Lips of an Angel. Two is still Moneymaker. And one is still Sexy Back. top six movies are doing this week. Debuting at number six is The Marine. Down to five, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Beginning. Number four, Open Season. Debuting at three, Man of the Year. Debuting at two, The Grudge 2. And staying at number one is The Departed.
One thing I'm just remembering from current events. Buffalo got like 2 feet of snow on that Friday. It was a record amount, and over 400,000 residents went without power.
My God.
I actually think I remember that snowstorm because I think much of it was lake effect.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. Keep going.
So, Monday Night Football. Chicago Bears improved to 6-0 with a 24-23 win over the Arizona Cardinals. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. They were on Sunday Night Football, but this is still when Monday Night Football was the big one. And, you know, this was really the first kind of big, like, this is going to be the big test on the national stage for the Bears. The Cardinals weren't very good. You know, Matt Leinart was struggling, but, you know, still a big test. So they go down 20-0 at halftime. And not great. Oh. Things are not ideal. Rex Grossman looks lost. And then, most of the third quarter, kind of more of the same. They get a field goal finally. And then Mike Brown forces a fumble right at the end of the third quarter for a touchdown. So you're, 23-10 going into the fourth. And Charles Tillman forces a fumble 5 minutes to go. So then it's 23-17. And then, the Bears' defense really stepped up. I think Brandon Urlacher had like 25 tackles
in
this game.
Yeah, he went crazy in that game.
I don't even think that's really an exaggerated 19 tackles. Lance Briggs had 15.
That's insane.
Really just kind of willed them to the victory. But yeah, the Bears, force three and out, get the ball back. They punt it to Devin Hester and gets an 83-yard punt return. For a touchdown. I mean, he had already had one because he had one against the Packers in the season opener. Yeah, so yeah.
And he had He had the kick six against the Giants.
Well, that didn't happen yet. But
did that not happen yet?
Not yet. That's still a couple weeks because they play the Giants and they play the Jets the next week.
Oh yeah, okay, fair enough.
But then I think the thing that people forget is that Arizona went back down the field. Neil Rackers missed it
he missed it with 53 seconds left. It would have given them the lead.
And he was, I think, perfect for quite some time.
Yeah, he was one of the best kickers in the league.
Yeah, and he missed it from fairly reasonable 40 yards. Yeah,
that's
so,
nothing. Yeah.
But yeah, so really a game that people still talk about. You know, obviously Dennis Green had the big meltdown after. But as far as Monday Night Football games go, one of the 5 or 10 most memorable of all time.
Without question. Without question.
Just a blast to watch. You know, didn't turn it off. Kept watching. Rex Grossman, 4 interceptions. And, you know, at that point, you kind of were like, okay, they have something here. You know, they're going to show that again next week, and then, you know, a couple weeks, they're going to finally take a loss. But, you know, this is really when it hit. Like, oh, there's something here. You know, you're 6-0. And I think there's a lot of NFL teams right now where, you know, they're 6-0, 7-0. It's starting to be like, oh, you know, this is a team that's probably going to make some noise in the postseason this year. So, yeah, just it's an all-time game. Great stuff. And we moved to Raw. Both shows are in LA this week because they went to Japan and the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
A little house show loop over there.
Yes.
DX music hits to open the show, but instead of Shawn and Triple H, it's Edge and Randy dressed like Shawn and Triple H. They cut a promo on DX, said that they have two words for them: you suck. And the real DX came out. Triple H doesn't really understand what they're doing. You know, they're two of the biggest stars in history of the company. Edge was in one of the highest rated Raw segments ever, even though he wasn't able to rise to the occasion. They start showing pictures of Randy, and things get kind of homophobic. And then Randy challenges Triple H to a match tonight, and Triple H accepts. We see Nick and Aaron Carter at ringside. We're in Los Angeles. All the stars are here. Spirit Squad issued an open challenge to any tag team except for one that has Ric Flair in it, and it's answered by Crime Time. So Crime Time come out, get the victory, do a little double team move behind the ref's back, and then after the match, Kenny punches Mikey and leaves alone. So Spirit Squad kind of on their last legs here, but we'll see a handful of them throughout the years.
Very much so.
Nitro and Melina have a special celebrity guest tonight that they will reveal later tonight.
Boy. That's funny.
They probably hyped it up a little too much, considering who it is, but Booker and Charmel are here because Vince wants all the champions to be on hand for a special announcement, and Coach sets them up in the office with some food, and then Crime Time comes in and takes the food and runs away. Jeff Hardy is defending his Intercontinental title against Shelton Benjamin, Super Crazy, and Chris Masters. Shelton jumped over Masters to get to Super Crazy on the top rope. Very cool. Probably should have done more with Shelton back then. Jeff retains with a twist of fate and Swanton on Chris Masters, because he's the only one that can ever take pins.
Yes, exactly.
Melina and Nitro are here. After we meet their celebrity guest, Vince is going to make his big announcement, but we got to do one thing at a time. It's Kevin Federline. If you don't remember, because it's been 15 years, he was married to Britney Spears.
No, I think people remember Kevin Federline with WWE.
Probably.
For better or worse.
The crowd doesn't care. Comes out to just complete silence. Then he starts running down the crowd and they boo him. And then John Cena comes out and does a rap and clears the ring. And then it's time for Vince's big announcement. There'll be more with John Cena and Kevin Federline in a couple months.
Yes. On New Year's.
Yes. The big announcement is the fans are going to vote on which championship will be on the line at Cyber Sunday. So one of these three titles will be on the line. Everyone leaves except for Cena, who asks Kevin Federline to come back into the ring, asks him which championship he'll be voting for, and he votes for the WWE Championship, and then Cena hits him with an FU.
Yes. And then, moving forward, Steve-O and Chris Pointis are in the crowd.
Yeah.
And then Carlito defeated Rob Conway. A pretty straightforward match. Edge and Lita came across Vince in the back. Vince agreed that Randy and Edge can face DX at Cyber Sunday, and Edge suggests that the fans vote for the special guest referee. So we'll see what kind of pool of candidates they get for that.
Yeah.
And then Maria defeated Tori, Candice, and Victoria to advance in the semifinal of the women's tournament that they are allegedly doing. Before that, though, sorry about that, read over my notes. Steve-O and Chris Pontius were interviewed by Todd Grisham. Umaga came out and beat them both down.
Yes. One of the best Jackass WWE moments of all time. Probably not the best.
No.
But, you know, very good.
Yes. And then we get our...
Steve-O at WrestleMania? This year? Was he part of that crew?
I don't think so. Maybe?
I don't remember.
I don't remember if he was or not. I know Wee Man was, obviously.
Wee Man, Johnny Knoxville, yeah.
Yeah. But I don't remember if Steve-O was there now. And then we got our main event, Triple H versus Randy Orton. Randy went on the attack right away. Towards the end of the match, Lita had the ref distracted. Orton got a chair to hit him. Shawn came in, low-blowed Randy, Triple H hit the chair, and got the win. So they tried to cheat, and then it wound up on their end.
Yep.
So they couldn't do anything about that. All right, and that was Raw. Before we talk about ECW briefly, there was one thing that I wanted to talk about, or two things, I should say, that I wanted to talk about in terms of Tuesday's action. Both of them, or I should actually say three things, from the world of baseball. Cardinals won Game 5 of the NLCS thanks to home runs from Albert Pujols and Chris Duncan. They beat them 4-2 to go up 3-2 in the series heading back to New York. We will certainly see what happens there. Elsewhere, in non-postseason news, the Chicago Cubs announced the hiring of Lou Piniella to a 3-year contract as their manager.
Yeah, you know, it works until it doesn't.
Yeah.
You know.
And then in a monumental sports media and television news, Major League Baseball announced a new national television package in which both Fox and TBS will share regular season and playoff broadcasting rights through the year 2013. And in return, TBS will surrender national telecasts of Atlanta Braves games, which they had held since 1976 after 2007.
Yeah, really the end of an era.
Yes.
I think most people can remember watching the Braves on TBS, even if you didn't do it regularly. It was
it was something you did, yeah.
Yeah.
Same thing with the Cubs and WGN. Mm-hmm. I remember one time I was on vacation in the Shenandoah Valley of Virginia at a condo or whatever, and we had WGN and we watched the Cubs.
Yeah.
This was like in 1999 or anything, something like that. So stuff like that. It was very well known that the Braves and the Cubs were two teams you could watch from pretty much anywhere in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And now, unfortunately, you can't. But
well, you still can.
You can, technically. You just need a streaming service or something like that. But it's just... Times were different back then.
Mm-hmm.
This was a big deal, and like you said, this was an end of an era.
Yeah.
In terms of television and syndication.
Yes.
Anyways, let's briefly talk about ECW.
Yeah, ECW from Jacksonville, Sandman against Matt Stryker and a Singapore cane on a pole match. Stryker gets the cane and starts hitting Sandman with it, but then Sandman gets it and hits Stryker, and Stryker's bleeding, and then he just leaves and loses via countout. CM Punk defeats Rene Dupree again. RVD's ready for his rematch against Big Show tonight. He's focused and fired up. Test beats Balls Mahoney. Sabu defeats Shannon Moore. Then we get Big Show against RVD in a non-title match. Late in the match, there's a ref bump, and Test comes out to beat up RVD, but Hardcore Holly comes out with a chair for the save. RVD hits Frog Splash, and now he has a future title shot against Big Show.
He does. He does.
Sure.
Sure. Why the hell not? And now, before we go to SmackDown, I'll talk about a couple things that happened in sports on the way. Tiki Barber is likely to retire, per the New York Times. That was announced on Wednesday and revealed on Wednesday to pursue other interests, such as a broadcasting career. That doesn't really go so well.
No.
A lot of things that happen in New York, from what I remember, for Tiki, that don't really go so well.
Yeah.
Especially considering what happens literally the next season for the Giants. I remember a lot of that. That was one of the first, like, I think, tumultuous things that happened with, like, a team near me that I vividly remember playing out.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that doesn't really end well for Tiki. Anyways, a New York team was in the news also because the Mets evened up the NLCS at 3 games apiece with their 4-2 victory with their backs against the wall at Shea Stadium. John Maine threw 5 1/3 scoreless. Mm-hmm. And Paul Aduca knocked in 2 runs with a 7th-inning single to win 4-2.
Damn.
So, move to a Game 7 on Thursday. One of the more epic Game 7s that you can possibly remember. Mostly because of Andy Chavez and his snow cone catch at the wall that led to a big double play and an outfield assist. And then, of course, Yadier Molina hit a go-ahead home run late.
Mm-hmm.
In the 9th inning to break a 1-1 tie. And the Mets loaded the bases in the bottom of the inning. However, Carlos Beltran struck out looking to an Adam Wainwright curveball, and the Cardinals went to the World Series.
Yeah.
Now, I was, of course, surrounded by Met fans, so I remember this being very painful. You, on the other hand, you did not like the Cardinals, obviously, so I can imagine that you might have been annoyed about this.
Yeah, I don't really remember, you know, if I was watching it specifically or whatever, but yeah, I was definitely rooting for the Tigers in the World Series. Yeah, I remember watching at least the first game of the World Series where Kenny Rogers has the stuff all over his hand, which I'm sure we'll talk about next week. Mm-hmm.
There's a fascinating tidbit from that World Series that I vividly remember also that we will talk about next week.
Yeah.
Then Friday, there was nothing. Okay, we can
go. Okay. Yeah, SmackDown, also from LA. We start with MVP against Kane. Kane has MVP ready to go up for the choke slam, and MVP kicks him in the dick for the DQ. Elijah Burke defeats Vito. Gregory Helms and Matt Hardy are arguing about their rivalry backstage, and Teddy Long says that Gregory Helms has a match tonight against The Undertaker. William Regal has a pre-tape. He's done screwing around with pirates and men in dresses and things of that nature. He's getting back to wrestling, and he's got a new tag team partner, and it's Dave Taylor.
It is.
Who you may remember if you watched WCW 10 years before.
Yeah.
But, you know, from what I remember, they have some pretty cool matches.
They are involved in that fatal four-way ladder match at Armageddon.
They're both too scared to climb the ladder.
Yes. It's
a good bit from that match, which we'll talk about in a couple weeks. A couple months, yeah.
Well, actually, no, not a couple months anymore. A month.
Yeah.
6 weeks, about, actually.
That's true.
I always forget that we're actually in November right now.
William Regal and Dave Taylor defeat Scotty Too Hotty and Funaki, so they are on the up and up already here.
Yes.
Getting ready to... oh, yeah. Oh, no, never mind. That didn't happen yet. Chavo Guerrero versus Rey Mysterio. Loser leaves SmackDown I Quit match. Chavo going right for Rey's knee the whole match, which they're making a point to point out.
Yes, they are.
Hangs Rey off the support thing on the stage and just keeps hitting him with the chair in the knee. Eventually, Rey quits. And I thought, hey, that's weird. Why did Rey quit? He's the babyface. I don't remember him leaving SmackDown. We're not going to see him again for a year.
Correct.
He has to go have knee surgery. I completely forgot about this.
Yes.
So he's gone.
He's gone until about June? Because I know he's on the...
after that.
I know he's on the Great American Bash 2007 poster. I don't know if it was because he was in it. But I know he was on that poster.
I think he's also on the Sports Illustrated list as well, so he's
going
to run into that.
Yeah, you're right now that I think about it. Listen,
next summer, things are going to get weird for a couple weeks here, all right?
Yeah, it's going to be really
weird.
We're
just going to have to push through it.
It's going
to
get really weird.
But yeah, Ray's going to be gone for a while. Undertaker is in action against Gregory Helms. Kennedy comes out to interfere. Undertaker just pushes him into the steps and gets back in and chokeslams Helms for the victory. Kind of surprised they got the Undertaker, but they're at Staples Center, I guess. So.
Yeah.
And then it's Batista against Booker T for the World Heavyweight Championship. Big Show and John Cena at ringside. You know, Batista gets the upper hand, but Finlay clotheslines him outside and brings him back in. Then Batista hits the Batista bomb, but Big Show comes in and headbutts Batista for the DQ. Booker helps out, but Cena evens the odds, and Teddy Long comes out and says, next week we will do Cena and Batista against Booker and Big Show.
Sounds like a fun time to me.
Yeah, that'll be good. That was SmackDown.
That was SmackDown. Who is our King of the Ring? I guess Chavo?
Yeah, I guess. Chavo had the biggest win.
Chavo certainly had the biggest win out of anybody here.
Yeah, just kind of looking back through. Yeah, I guess it's Chavo.
Yeah, let's go with Chavo.
Sure.
Sure. Why not?
I mean... Benoit technically won the U.S. title.
Well, yeah, but...
really shouldn't give it to him.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, it's fine. Go Chavo. Or Crime Time, they debuted. Either one. But yeah.
That is it for Ruthless Aggression this week. We will be back again next week to talk about the aftermath of Crown Jewel, as well as the next round of 2006 shows. Obviously, like we said, we have a big main event on SmackDown to look forward to, so that'll be fun. And yeah, I mean, you can follow our socials at BarbersChairNet. Listen to our podcasts on app on iTunes, Spotify, and SoundCloud. And of course, follow me at Chris M. Novak. Follow Rob at RobertO'Neill31. And that'll do it for us. And enjoy the wrestling for the next couple of days.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy, thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods, straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.